Chapter 16.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
To say that Mace was alarmed when Depa calmed him to get to the healers right away, it's about John, was an understatement. It would be more accurate to say his pulse skyrocketed mid-council debate about the code, forever a pointless discussion with Yoda in the room, and he sprang to his feet. Yariel was in the middle of a long-winded argument that he'd made every single discussion. He broke off the second Mace began to head for the door. "Mace," Plo said, voice already tense. Mace swung the doors to the chamber open with the Force and didn't once slow his stride. "My Padawan needs me." He didn't run, because the sight of a master on the council running through the temple would cause a panic he didn't have time to deal with. Mace certainly got as close to it as he could, though, as he turned the hall toward the healers. His bond with John was disturbingly well-shielded as always, but he had a much easier time picking out his first Padawan's Force signature, roiling in as much anxiety as it was. The senior Padawan sitting at the intake desk waved him through without hesitation. Mace quickly walked down the hall until he reached the room where he could sense his former Padawan pacing. He invited himself in. Vakara Che was crouched in front of John, the usual no-nonsense healer purposefully making herself smaller to put his Padawan at ease. Mace could see it wasn't working. John was sitting on an exam table that, frankly, made him look even smaller than he was. His feet didn't even dangle halfway toward the floor. There was dried blood wringing his nostrils, which looked hastily cleaned from his upper lip and chin. Mace tensed automatically at the sight of blood, but after another glance, there was no other obvious injury, and his Padawan's nose was clearly already healed. John's shoulders were tense, with his arms crossed defensively over his tunics, but when Mace finally stepped further into the room, he glanced at his master automatically. Mace felt a deep well of affection when the tension in John's shoulders loosened almost imperceptibly. "John, are you all right?" Mace asked softly. He closed the distance between him and his Padawan and rested a gentle hand on his upper back. John leaned into his hand for a brief second, which was only further evidence of how thrown he must be feeling. "I'm fine, Master," John said, voice quiet but sure. Depa snorted loudly. Mace turned his attention to his former Padawan, who was still pacing. His forehead wrinkled as he noted her shaking hands and pale face. "Depa?" "My little brother is so far from fine, Master. He screamed." All of the tension and worry that Mace had managed to release to the Force came roaring back. "Padawan Antilles," Vakara started quietly, "I really must insist on giving you a full checkup. I need you to tell me what you did with the Force in as much detail as possible so I can help you." John shifted under Mace's hand. "I healed myself. I'm fine." "Healed yourself?" Mace repeated numbly, and caught Depa's frantic gaze. "Healing should not hurt, Padawan Antilles, and there is a serious possibility that you have done yourself more damage than good if it did." John huffed out a breath that sounded audibly frustrated. "The healing Dark Woman taught me is meant for emergencies. It's quick and dirty and it hurts," John bit out. Mace was simultaneously impressed by the number of words and shocked to hear his Padawan almost sounding petulant. He had thought John was still too afraid for that kind of rebellion, especially in front of a stranger. And then the rest of John's words caught up to him. "Dark Woman taught you to heal yourself?" Mace demanded, spinning to crouch like Vakara and putting himself below John's eyeline. "You've never mentioned this before." John refused to meet his eyes. "I didn't think you would approve," he near whispered. And oh, that made Mace's heart twist in his chest. "Padawan, I will absolutely need to conduct a full checkup. Flash healing like I believe you're describing is dangerous. Shirt off, Padawan Antilles," Vakara said. She rose to her feet, and Mace followed. Her expression was back to no nonsense, but the softness lingered around her eyes. It's your choice whether you'd like to do this with or without your lineage in the room. John's expression went entirely blank. He was shielded so tightly in the Force that Mace could not read him at all. "They can stay," he said finally, and pulled off his shirt. John was so small. He had a few faded and scattered scars, but nothing too unusual for a child raised in the Outer Rim. His left shoulder was slightly red and irritated, but not swollen. There was something, though. Mace stared at the strange way the Force swirled over John's skin. If he didn't know better, he would say it was... "Drop the illusion, Padawan," Vakara Che ordered, stepping closer. "I'm not sure how you even know how to weave one with such skill, but you won't fool a master healer." John paled, drastically, and at the same time, a shatterpoint that Mace hadn't even realized was resting on this moment burst. It was large, one of the largest that Mace had ever been so close to. Larger than the shatterpoint when he'd taken Depa as his Padawan, larger than the shatterpoint of the first ever comm call about John. Somehow, in some way, this moment in the healers was pivotal. It felt trite to say that the galaxy itself shifted, but... the effects of it rippled through the Force so strongly that Mace was not the only one in the room stumbling, as Vakara and Depa also struggled to keep their feet. In fact, Mace's aching head could feel the surprise throughout the healer's wing, and even further into the temple, as each Force-sensitive stumbled under the weight of change, change, change. The strength of it shattered John's illusion without fanfare. And what it revealed. Mace could not release his emotions to the Force, too caught up in what he should have known, but hadn't expected. John was covered in scars. There had always been the faint scar on his face, presumably from shrapnel that Mace had been determined not to worry about. John was far too young for active missions, but it was a small scar that could have easily come from a fall in training, so he had tried not to worry about it. The initial healer's report had noted a saber burn, scarring on the back of John's knuckles from hand-to-hand fighting, and a scar from a badly broken arm. Nothing out of the ordinary, or even far beyond what they might expect from an initiate raised in the temple. There had been nothing about this. This was blaster wounds silver with age. How? How, when John was not even 12? Scattered across John's torso. This was an ugly, jagged scar on John's stomach that looked like someone had tried to disembowel him. This was thin slashes from vibroblades scattered between the other marks, some that would have been glancing, and some that were clearly stabs. This was the ungodly number of lightsaber scars on his torso and patterned all over his arms in clear defensive wounds. And a lightsaber could only mean one culprit. Oh, John had been so much worse off than they had even dreamed. Dark Woman had been pushing him beyond his limits, emotionally abusing him, but she'd also been searing him with her lightsaber long enough ago that some of the scars on John were pale silver with age and oddly stretched, as if his very skin had grown since their initial damage. Mace wanted to be sick. He wanted to duel Dark Woman to the death. He wanted to wrap John up in his cloak and never let anyone hurt him again. He desperately, desperately wanted to meditate. "Master," Depa's voice was high-pitched and unsteady. "Master, I really need to step out." Mace couldn't look away from John, couldn't tear his eyes away from his small, damaged Padawan, but he sent as much reassurance to Depa and the Force as he could muster. She took a loud, shuddering breath. I'm not upset with you, John, I promise. I'm just feeling overwhelmed and protective, and I really, really need to meditate, okay?" And then she fled. Her words reminded Mace to check in on John, and while he was still locked down tightly in the Force, one look at his face said everything. John was terrified. While Mace could absolutely feel her rage, Vakara stepped away to give them the illusion of privacy. "You're angry," John said, his voice wavering and breaking. Mace took a deep breath, then another, and then shoved as much of his rage into the Force as he could. I'm angry, May said, carefully. But I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at Dark Woman and the people who hurt you. For a long moment, John stared at Mace's face. Mace tried to keep his expression as open and honest as possible and hoped that his Padawan could find what he was looking for. I don't understand, John said finally. May I sit with you, Padawan? Mace waved a hand toward the table. John paused for a moment, but eventually nodded. Mace took a seat next to him, with at least a foot of space between their bodies. He turned his torso to look at John head-on, and his Padawan did the same. It seems like we may be encountering a clash of worldviews, my Padawan. Could you explain to me why you hid your scars in the first place? John's brow furrowed in concentration, and then he hesitated. He glanced up at Mace quickly, before looking down at his lap in something like shame. Mace frowned. He corrected his expression before John could take note. My scars, John said slowly, are a mark of shame, of failure. They show when I failed my lessons or my missions. I didn't want the temple. John cut himself off. Mace's heart twisted around in his chest, and he wanted nothing more than to sweep John under his arm and hold him close. But he knew his Padawan would not appreciate that. I see, Mace said instead. This is definitely a clash of worldviews then, my Padawan. In the temple, we do not view scars as a mark of shame. We instead view them as a sign of strength. You survived whatever gave you those scars and grew stronger and learned from them. Mace rolled up one sleeve to show his right forearm, where he bore the marks of a mission gone wrong on Hypori. These taught me to show more respect to droids and their restraining capabilities, Mace said wryly. John's eyes widened, and it was like Mace had entirely shattered his preconceived notions of reality. Mace wanted to let him sit with it. He did, but the rest of what John had said nagged at him. Are you implying that you gained some of your scars from training with Dark Woman, John? John dragged his eyes away from Mace's forearm to frown at him. Yes, of course, John said, like it should have been obvious. Mace struggled to release his anger to the Force. For all that Vakara was giving them space, he knew that the healer was noting down this information for a full report to the Council. Could you walk me through what happened with each? John looked uncomfortable, but he nodded. He rested a small finger against the break in his arm. Before I had my Kyber, Dark Woman focused on the physical applications of the Force. I first broke my arm when I misjudged a Force jump. I broke it again, learning to shadow walk. Okay, well, Mace didn't like that, but it was fairly typical of young Force sensitives to have accidents. John shifted his hand to one of the blaster bolts on his torso. His eyes were far away. I was struggling with stopping and redirecting stun bolts. Dark Woman switched to live charges so I would feel more motivated. John waved at the rest of his torso. Some of these are from missions, though. And that was not typical of any master that dared give themselves that title. Vakara's gasp was loud in the small exam room. John flinched at the sound and looked to Mace for reassurance. It took everything Mace had to swallow down the bile and gesture for his Padawan to continue. And continue John did, in starts and stops. The vibroblade slices that were partially healing practice, the other breaks that John dutifully described when Vakara dared prompt him, and the lightsaber sears. Oh, the lightsaber sears. A lightsaber is a Jedi's life, John recited. Dark Woman drilled me on keeping hold of it through disarming attempts. When I mastered that, she drilled me on combat against a lightsaber user when your own saber is lost or disabled. For all that John's words were unaffected, his grip on his forearms was white-knuckled. You didn't spar on training mode? Vakara asked faintly. John shook his head. Spars should be full strength. My blade didn't have a training mode until the temple. When John finished his recount, Vakara stepped forward with a scanner. This will be quick, Padawan Antilles. I just need to confirm that your mode of healing has not done any damage. John looked unimpressed, but acquiesced nonetheless. When the scan finished, Vakara's expression was complicated. You do not have any damage I can link to the healing method, but it is crude. like things were fused back together. Vakara hesitated. I would like to see it in action before I confirm. Rather than let John attempt to volunteer, Mace immediately interjected. I have a rather nasty flimsy cut if you'd like to demonstrate on that, my Padawan. John gave Mace a look, but obliged when Mace held out the offending finger. Vakara crowded closer, clearly observing what John was doing with the Force. Mace did his best to observe as well. Fusing things together was a good description, Mace thought. It honestly looked like John was taking a soldering iron and then forcing his cells to go through the healing process at 10 times the speed. And it hurt, less so because of the scale of the injury, of course, but certainly more than receiving the flimsy cut in the first place. Mace thought he understood how to replicate it in an emergency, but he certainly wouldn't attempt the technique in any situation that wasn't life or death. I see, Vakara said. You have a clean bill of health, Padawan Antilles, but in the future, I would prefer that you allow the healing halls to care for your wounds. There is no reason for you to bear the pain unless it is absolutely necessary. Understood? John nodded meekly. Mace wasn't convinced. Vakara left the room with a glance at Mace that told him she would be making a report to the council post-haste. Mace tried to take a deep breath and release his whirling emotions to the Force. He was only semi-successful. The Force was tangled, and his head pounded with the aftermath of the shatter point. Mace felt unsteady, twisted up like he hadn't been for years. He needed to meditate with overwhelming intensity, but he didn't have the ability to step back like Depa did. This had become a council matter, with the potential censuring and punishment of Dark Woman on the horizon, and, more importantly, it was Mace's duty as a master to see this through. Padawan, Mace began, ever so careful. You know that what you've described is not normal methods of training, correct? John stared at him blankly. A master should never hurt their charge in the name of teaching. That is abuse, and not something that would ever be tolerated in the temple. John continued to stare at him, but this time Mace could see things flashing through his expression too quickly to get a full read on. Confusion, hurt, denial, betrayal, before his expression settled, bafflingly, on defiance. You're lying, John said, and his voice was almost angry. Mace was utterly taken aback. What? John's expression seemed to stutter, fear seeping through the edges, before firming back up. You're lying. Maybe masters here don't use Dark Woman's methods exactly, but they still hurt their Padawans. They take them only when they sacrifice their lives and get them enslaved and punish them for getting hurt and abandon them in a war zone to teach a lesson, and at least Dark Woman always came back for me. John's voice had actually raised by the end of his speech, and some part of Mace was impressed that John had so many words in him today. The rest of Mace was spinning, trying to understand how John had gotten such a warped perspective of the temple. How John had gotten such a warped perspective of the Master-Padawan relationship when Mace thought their relationship had come so far. Like a spark finally catching, Mace understood and struggled to release his frustration. There were an extremely limited number of people in the temple that John even had contact with, and only one who could have spread tales like the one John was citing. Some of the pieces didn't quite fit, but Mace was disappointed that his initial misgivings about John's connection with Kenobi had come true. Mace's mouth was moving before he considered how to modulate his tone. John, is that how Padawan Kenobi has described his apprenticeship? While he and Jin have had their issues, he has certainly never abused his Padawan, nor left him in a war zone of all things. Like a store closing, John's expression shuddered in a way it hadn't since their early days. All the defiance and emotion were locked away, behind his shields and a mask that Mace couldn't hope to breach. Mace had the sinking sensation that he'd criffed up, and badly, but before he could begin to try to fix it, his comm chimed. Out of habit, Mace glanced down. Perhaps it was a sign from the Force that the Jin Kenobi team had just landed in the temple hangar. Rather than continue to push his clearly shutting down Padawan, he could find out exactly what assumptions he'd made from what Kenobi had told him. Mace doubted that the other Padawan had done so maliciously. Kenobi didn't have a malicious bone in his body, and had probably just wanted to vent to his friend or brag about his missions. But John's connection to the temple was new and fragile, and whatever exaggerations Kenobi had given into had put that connection in danger. Mace had studied the reports from the Kenobi-Jin pair even more carefully once the other Padawan had begun to befriend John. The quality of Jin's reports had actually improved since he'd taken on Kenobi. And while most of their missions had not been smooth, the questionable pieces had been quite characteristic of a young Padawan in over his head and making mistakes. There had certainly been no mention of sacrifices, or slavery, or abandonment. According to Jin's report, Kenobi had left the Order of his own choice when he'd made friends on Melodadon. Kenobi, too, had said that his friends had asked him to stay. There had been no mention of any kind of war zone from either of them. Mace wasn't sure how John had gotten so twisted up, but he was going to find out. "We can continue this conversation later, John. I have to attend to some urgent council business first." It was a small lie, but Mace still swallowed down guilt. "You can have the rest of the day off from classes and training to recuperate in our quarters." John's eyes stayed fixed on his lap, and he didn't so much as look up when Mace squeezed his shoulder. All of the comfort he'd taken from the touch earlier seemed to be gone. Mace left the healing hall behind him with a feeling of foreboding. He nodded to Vakara on his way out. His feet took him toward the hangar, where he could hopefully waylay the pair and make off with Kenobi for some pointed questions. It seemed that the Force was smiling on him, because only two halls away from the healing halls, Mace found Kenobi on his own, heading towards him. Mace tried to release all his roiling emotions to the Force and succeeded, somewhat. Except, regardless of what he tried, he couldn't banish the lightsaber scars on John's arms from the back of his eyelids. "No matter." "Padawan Kenobi," Mace called. "I was hoping to have a word." Kenobi's head jerked up like it was on a string. The Padawan was pale, for lack of a better word, and the bags under his eyes looked almost bruised. "Of course, Master Windu." Kenobi bowed. "Some things have come to light about my Padawan's history and his current preconceptions about the temple. He seems to be under the impression that all masters abandon their Padawans and encourage them to harm themselves in the name of learning," Mace said, with a pointed look at Kenobi. The Padawan blinked at him, uncomprehending. Mace sighed. "I understand that Padawans like to embellish their missions, and that you've had a more tumultuous Padawanship than most, but John's connection to the temple is fragile. Insinuating that Jin abandoned you in a war zone or left you to be enslaved is just not the kind of embellishment I can allow in this situation. Do you understand?" Kenobi's expression remained uncomprehending for a long, long moment. And then, the shields that Mace hadn't even been consciously aware of, the shields that were startlingly similar to John's, cracked just a bit. Mace stumbled back at the absolute flood of emotion that leaked through. Confusion, hurt, denial, hurt, defiance, hurt, and ultimately, resignation. "Embellishment," Kenobi repeated, voice hoarse. "I don't understand what you all want from me. My master tells me to follow the will of the Force, and when I do so, he chooses Tall over an army of child soldiers and leaves me behind to fight a war without my saber. You all tell me to control my temper, and I try, but I'm the one punished when Bruck tormented me, and I'm sent away early, and I have to kill my crushmate to save my friend. My master tells me to live in the moment, and yet keeps returning to Xanatos, who tortured me, and to how I broke my leg and Tall died because of me. I don't understand how to help him. I don't understand what you want, and—" Kenobi heaved in a breath. "Maybe it would have just been easier if I'd blown my slave collar up on Bandomir like I suggested to him." And Mace had fucked up. The council had fucked up worse, but Mace just pushed a scared child over the edge in a way he didn't even know to expect. John's story of war zones, slavery, and abuse was not an embellishment. But Mace suspected now that every report he'd read from the Kenobi-Jin pair since the beginning had been. They'd failed one of their children, and they should have known. They should have suspected. Kenobi should have been seeing a mind healer since that first bumpy mission. The only thing to do now was make amends and get him help. Padawan Kenobi, Mace started, projecting his regret and taking a step forward, reaching out. Kenobi flinched, stumbling back. Without another glance, he stepped into a shadow and vanished. End of chapter 16.